I'm Heidi Holton. Thanks for choosing this KAXE KBXE conversation. We are member-supported radio, a National Public Radio affiliate in northern Minnesota. We need your support for our radio broadcasts, our online content, and our podcast. Go to KAXE.org, and thanks for listening.
Another voice I'm looking forward to hearing, Larry Weber. Larry is an author, a phenologist, a bon vivant, and a journalist extraordinaire. Larry, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, good morning. But apparently I'm not much with technology. I screwed up the phone call here a little bit.
So. You know, we have other talents, you and I. We'll leave the technology to those that don't have the time to observe nature. Larry, I've been using your books for years and years, Butterflies, Spiders, all of the great books that you've written. But one that comes to mind this time of year is a book that you titled In a Patch of Goldenrod. And it's a short, easy-to-read book, a great book for school kids, a great book for adults that want to learn a little bit about what's happening outside their door. But the reason I thought of it is that, boy, oh boy, everywhere I look this time of year, there are patches of goldenrod.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? I did some traveling this past week, and that's the same thing I noticed along the roadside, just constantly goldenrod, goldenrod, goldenrod. I did a spider program up at Grand Marais a few days ago, and we started out by locating a patch of goldenrod right there in town and going out into the patch of goldenrod looking for whatever is happening. Yeah, I got the idea of the book while taking a walk one September day a few years ago, and as I was passing this patch of goldenrod, I heard all this buzzing going on, so I stopped to take a look, and there were bees, and there were wasps, and there were flies, and there were ladybugs, and there were dragonflies, and there were spiders, and on and on, and I thought, wow, I thought this needs to be recorded. So in writing this book, I spent a couple of summers where I would take weeks during August and September, and I'd go out in the patch of goldenrod, and I would just photograph whatever I found. The rule that I followed in doing the book was whatever is in the book is something that was seen in the patch of goldenrod or was seen near the patch of goldenrod when I was in the goldenrods. And the book has 300 photos. I've taken all but about 10, and they're local. I live in Carlton County, and I tried to keep everything local. The patch of goldenrod that I spent most of my time in was a patch of goldenrod right along the road. I didn't have to go a long ways at all. And yes, they are amazing plants. There's about a dozen kinds in our area here. I would think in your area you have maybe one or two different ones than what we have here. But there's about a dozen kinds. To most people, they just look like the yellow plants along the side of the road. Now, it's easy to confuse them with a few other yellow plants. But they're native. The big yellow plants along the side of the road that we may also see, tansy, are not native. But goldenrod are native. And so that's why when I told the class this week when we were going to go out in a patch of goldenrod, I didn't say in a patch of tansy, I said patch of goldenrod, because the native plants tend to bring in more of the native insects. And we found dozens of them, as I did in this book. So, yes, I agree with you. This is an incredible time of year to get out and look in the goldenrod. Now, there are always those who say, oh, I'd love to, but I have hay fever. I react. Well, you may have hay fever, but you don't react to goldenrod. I say this in the introduction of the book, that goldenrod gets a bad rap. It's often blamed for what really goes on with ragweed. And all you have to do is think a little bit. Why do they have these yellow flowers? They have them to attract insects. Why do they need to attract insects? Because their pollen does not blow in the air. And if the pollen does not blow in the air, we are not going to come along and breathe it. Okay, but the ragweed pollen does blow in the air. So unfortunately, people stay away from goldenrod for that reason. But that's No, it's not worth it. It's such a great plant. It is worth getting out and taking a look.
Yeah, and you're talking about all of the bees and flies, and I've noticed the same thing. When you go in there, there's, you know, four or five species of bumblebees. There's wasps. Yep. There's flies. One day, I approached a patch of goldenrod, and I noticed a red admiral butterfly sitting on the goldenrod, and I started moving in and getting ever closer and taking pictures, thinking, it's going to fly, it's going to fly, it's going to fly. Well, it never did fly. And the reason it didn't fly is that it was held fast by a rather unusual bright yellow spider. And maybe you could talk a little bit about that creature.
Well, I hope you got a photo of that. That was probably a crab spider.
Yes, it was.
Crab spiders do not make webs. And matter of fact, there is one yellow crab spider that is sometimes called the goldenrod crab spider. And so they just rely on deception, whoever comes by, and then they try to grab whoever is there. Oh, yeah, great discovery. I think that was probably the spider that I found the most when I was doing the goldenrod project was the crab spiders. They are not all yellow. I had a favorite one that I found that was brown. And I just loved watching these brown crab spiders. One of them, this is a spider that maybe is a quarter of an inch. Well, one of them one day succeeded in catching a bumblebee, and another one succeeded in catching a bald-faced hornet. And both of those are considerably larger. But, yeah, that was a fascinating thing to see.
So how does...
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, how does a quarter-inch spider... subdue. I was surprised that this spider was able to hold fast.
Subdue it. All right. There's two ways. Number one, it has to get to the right part of the body. They bite usually right behind the head, and they inject the venom, and the venom has enzymes in it, and the enzymes will go to work to digest the inside of the insect while the venom is subduing the insect. And so, yes, they're able to proceed. This one that did the bald-faced hornet, if two straight days, I came by every few hours, and it constantly fed for two straight days before it finished eating that entire thing. Now, spiders don't eat like we do. They inject enzymes. The enzymes turn the inside of the insect into liquid, and they suck out all of it. And so that is its feeding mechanism. Oh, yeah, it's an incredible thing. The wasps that are there are mostly there also as predators, as are the dragonflies. The butterflies and the bees are most likely there to take nectar. And, John, this is a really cool thing. Get out there and see how many flies there are in the goldenrods that look like bees. I make a big deal about that in the book. It's what's called mimicry. And I was amazed at how many flies look like something else, but they're really flies. Some look like wasps, some look like moths, one of them even looked like a dragonfly, but they are still flies.
Yeah, it is a kind of astonishing, the mimicry that goes on there and how they adapt to looking fearsome even though they're nothing. You know, you mentioned that the spider injects this poison into the insect. Now, I'd like you to talk just for a minute, and you've written a book about spiders of the North Woods, which is a great text, one that I use constantly. But talk a little bit about spiders and their, you know, spiders got a bad rap, and they've got a bad press agent, and the word never seems to get out that, you know, most of the spiders in Minnesota aren't likely to bite you.
No, I estimate that I moved to northern Minnesota in the late 70s, and I have handled live spiders in northern Minnesota now for more than 40 years, and I have never, absolutely never had a problem. I don't even think of it when I'm handling them. Yeah. They get a bad rap because of two things. Number one, the Hollywood the movies are various articles and stories and so forth that people tell. There's always somebody. I have learned in giving talks to people that there's always somebody in the audience who knows somebody, who knows somebody who's been bit, you know. So that kind of stuff goes on. The other one is, and this one bothers me even more, and that is there's a whole lot of people out there who don't care to change their attitude about spiders. They're satisfied with just as it is.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, I can't change that. They're going to have to come up with a desire to learn more themselves. But it's too bad. You're missing out on some absolute beauty of life. This morning, John, this is fabulous. Here is a rainy morning we had here. I went out and took a walk anyway. I went by a swamp, and I stopped, and I looked out in that swamp, and I estimated nearly 200 orb webs were showing up there in the swamp that I walked by.
Yeah. Not to turn too far away from goldenrods, which is where we started, but this spider thing is so interesting to me. The funnel weavers are out in great numbers everywhere.
This is funnel time.
Yeah. Orb weavers and funnel weavers are really
doing you don't even need to leave the road to see the funnels.
No, you can walk there, and I see them in the bog on the ground, you know, in the shrub layer. They're just, I mean, there's one every couple of feet.
Yeah, and there's another one that's in the shrubs in the bog, sheet web. Did you see those? They're little bowl-like webs.
Yeah,
and they're often in the leather leaf of the bogs.
Right, right. Well, Larry, I promised I'd have you free and clear for the rest of the day after a short visit. I want to thank you so much. It's always a pleasure having you on. I don't know why we don't do it more often.
One pitch for my book. My book, In a Patch of Goldenrod, is not available in stores, but if you contact me, you can get them.
What would you like, your email address?
Email is fine, yeah.
I'll put your email address on our website, and people that might be interested in picking up the book will be able to get in touch with you.
Okay, take care. Good to talk to you, John. Have a good one.
Yep. See you, Larry. Thanks so much.
Larry, everything you wanted to know about spiders and goldenrod.
Oh, man. Larry is just a compendium of useful information. He's a great, great guy. And if you've ever run across Larry, you'll remember it. He's certainly dynamic.